We're talking about our Father in heaven tonight. So we're going to start off with Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Just before the Second World War started, England's Prime Minister Winston Churchill grew concerned because he knew war was going to start pretty quick. He became concerned over the fact, could the army operate with 600 tons of German bombs dropping on England? And so he called in his staff, and they realized the position that their communication was in. If the war started and Germany began to drop all the bombs they were bound, determined they were going to drop, that they would lose all communication with all the army. And so Winston Churchill asked them to come up with a plan so that the army would be able to communicate even with the bombings that were coming. Well, the first plan was that they were, as soon as the bombing started, they were going to evacuate all the leadership of the military out into the country. Winston Churchill didn't like that idea at all. So he said, come up with another plan. We want to stay right here. So they came up with a plan. They were going to locate just below the Public Works Building, which was the strongest building in London at the time. Underneath that, they were going to dig a huge area, and they were going to have a communication center there. Winston Churchill liked the plan, and they began to build between number 10 Downing Street, was where the Prime Minister lived, and the Parliament building. It was right in between in that Public Works building. Winston Churchill, once they got it built, in May 1940, Winston Churchill visited that bunker just before the war was going to start, and he pointed his stubby finger at the desk where he was going to be sitting, and he said, if an invasion takes place, there I will sit. I shall sit there until the Germans are driven back or they carry me out dead. For the next 5 years, that was where the English army got all their orders and everything went out. They were able to communicate and contact was kept. We have a secret place as Christians where we can go and Satan and nobody else can ever stop our communication with our Heavenly Father. Our Lord Jesus talked about that place in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. He said, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. The Lord says in all of our lives we are to have a secret place of prayer. Now it doesn't have to be a secret from your wife, your husband, your children, whatever, but it should be a place that's private to you. Now we believe in corporate prayer as well. We have prayer meeting on Wednesday night. We pray as a church, but there should be a place in every one of our lives, a secret place, where just you and the Lord meet. You're not praying with your wife, you're not praying with your husband, you're not praying with your children, you're praying alone. You need that time with God. Every single one of us has to have that. Jesus told his disciples, enter into their closet. Now, we have closets today, but the closet they had then, they didn't have bigger houses like most of us have today. They had one little area where they stuck all the household stuff. That particular room was not heated, so if it was wintertime, it was cold. It didn't have good ventilation. It might get a little stuffy. But it's a place, you know, people used to have 8, 10, 12, 14 children. Debbie just mentioned the Boss family having 13. That was normal families. If you have 13 children in your house, Plus, they used to have animals in the house, believe it or not. They did. If you have all that going on, you need a place to get where it's quiet. Just you and just the Lord. Today, it might be your office room, and if you have an office in your house, that's where I take my private time. I just have a little office room. It's about the size of half of a bedroom. It doesn't have to be big because it's just me in there. And I have a time every morning for private prayer. Everybody, the Lord's saying, everybody, it doesn't have to be in the morning, any time of day or night where you can be alone, take your heart concerns to your Father, and your Father who hears you praying in secret. You're not doing this for attention. It's just you and your Lord. But when you do that, the Lord gives us a promise that he will always hear, and you'll be going right to the throne room of heaven. Imagine in your own house having a room that you can go into, and you're actually in the throne room of God. Because that's what he says. We go into the Holy of Holies with our Lord. We have a time ourselves to just talk. And then I encourage you, after you talk, sit there for a few minutes and just listen. See if God won't speak to you, because he does. Not in a verbal voice. I've never heard the Lord speak to me verbally. But I have heard the Lord speak to me. And almost everybody I know that really knows the Lord well, he speaks into our spirit. I know some people say they have a verbal voice, and that's okay. I don't say they're wrong. I just say, well, I've never had that, but I'm happy for you. But the Lord does speak. And I just want to encourage you to have that time. The organ in a large church, and this was years ago, the organ broke down one morning just before the sermon was ready to start. Well, they were very fortunate they had an organ repairman as one of their members. And so the organ repairman started working on the organ, and he finally got it. He found out it was just an electrical problem. He got it fixed, and he sent a note to the organist. He said, after prayer is done, the power will be on. Folks, think about that in prayer. After prayer is done, the power of God is coming on. Prayer is extremely important. When the organ got fixed, the power was on. Dr. Samuel D. Gordon, in his classic book on prayer in 1904, Quiet Talks on Prayer, spoke of the kind of people who take advantage of the opportunity. God is inviting you. Come to the throne of grace. Get into your prayer closet. Come on to me and pray and watch him work. So he said, it's wholly a secret service. We do not know who those people are. I often think that sometimes we pass some plain-looking woman quietly slipping out of church and do not know nor guess perhaps she is the one who's doing far more for her church and for the world and for God than 100 who would claim more attention and thought because she prays, truly prays, as the Spirit of God inspires and guides. A lot of people talk about prayer, but not very many people spend very much time in prayer. And it isn't a matter of how long, it's how intense. Intense prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer. What does the word fervent mean? It means with all your heart, folks. You're into it. This is important to me. My grandson's salvation is so important to me, Lord. Please do something. And a week goes by and nothing happens. What do? You go right back and do it again. Father, you know how important this is. A week goes by, nothing happens, you're in there again. The Lord is going to eventually answer that kind of prayer. It's extremely important we have some zeal in this thing. Don't just go and say, Lord, I'd sure like it if you did this or that. Lord, I desperately need you because nobody else can do this. Only you. That's what he's looking for. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. If it didn't make any difference, he wouldn't say that. Your prayer, if your heart is right with God and you're praying for him to do something that's a good thing, you're going to have power, and it's going to make a difference. Then Dr. Gordon said something interesting about praying on the global missionary task. He said, a man may go aside today and shut his door and as readily spend a half hour in India as if he were actually there. You can intercede for people in India. And then he says, without any doubt, he may turn the key and be a minute later, potentially in China by the power of prayer, as though he were actually bodily there. You can be praying for people all over the world. We have missionaries in Mexico. I hope from time to time you take time to pray for that ministry. He and his wife are literally touching hundreds of people's lives every week. We need to be praying for that. The benefits of Christian faith is the privilege of instant access to God. I want you to think of that just for a minute. How powerful is God? He's all powerful. You could ask me, Pastor, could you come over to my house and do the roof? And I would say to you, I'd be glad to come over to your house and supervise the roof, but I don't go on roofs anymore. I don't have the balance. But you could ask God, Lord, would you send workers over that could do the roof? And he'll provide it. He can do anything that you and I can imagine might need to be done. There's no lack of power. You could say, Pastor, could you fix my car engine? I could say, well, I'd love to supervise that job, but I'm not a mechanic. I can't do that. But God can. And he has all kinds of people that specialize in that. We can ask him for the help we need in any area of life, and he's not only willing, he's able. A lot of people are willing to help you, but they just can't do it. But God always can. And so you can take any concern that you have to him. You have instant access and a guaranteed promise that he will answer the prayers of those that are honestly praying to him for their needs. The Bible says he will supply every need we ever have. Not every want. Don't go praying and saying, the pastor told me I'd get me a brand new Cadillac this week. That's not what he's promising. But he will meet your needs. Without instant access to God's throne is always available to every Christian. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So number one, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have peace with God. We are in harmony now with God. We become part of his family. But number two, you are guaranteed access anytime, day or night, 24 hours a day, anytime you want to come to the throne of grace. His ear is open. Always open to his children's prayer. What a blessing we have. E.M. Bounds said this, what the church needs today is not more machinery or better or not new organizations or more novel methods, but men and women with whom the Holy Ghost can use, men and women of prayer, men and women mighty in prayer. Folks, we need to be, as a church, praying for the salvation of people all around this church. They don't all have to come here. There's other good churches in the area, too. But if we're really praying for people to get saved, guess what's going to happen? People are going to start getting saved. It's up to us. We are God's intercessors. He loves to answer those kinds of prayers. But if they're not offered up, if nobody's concerned about the neighborhood, guess what? Nobody's going to get saved. But if you would say to the Lord, Lord, my neighbor right next door to me isn't saved. or that lady just down the block isn't saved yet. Lord, would you talk to her? If you want to, Lord, use me. Whatever you want to do. If we would start doing that actively, more people would be getting saved. Jesus said, you have not because why? Because you don't ask. The church is asleep. So, we have instant access to our Lord. We're told that we are to come to him, to the throne of grace, so that we can get the mercy and the grace that we need. Again, our primary verse for tonight is Hebrews 4, verse 15. For we have not a high priest, which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted just as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So how do you come to God? Do you have to kind of sneak in the side door? You're his son and daughter. You can run right into the room. Lord, this is what's happening out there. I'm so excited. It's all good. Lord, would you help me do what I got to do? He loves that kind of prayer. Other times you'll want to be quiet, but we don't have to worry about it. The Father always, his room is open to you and to me. He longs to have us come. Godly habits of prayer. I just want to hit a few. There should be in every one of our lives a time of day that you set aside. Now, Daniel was a good example. Daniel, three times a day, went into his house, went to the window that was open towards Jerusalem, kneeled down on his knees, and three times every day, Daniel prayed. Our Lord Jesus had a habit of praying early in the morning. It says in Mark 1:35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Now, I don't know about you. I'm not too crazy about getting up before sunrise too often. But that's what Jesus' habit was. Why? So that he could be alone. The Bible tells us he was so busy caring for people's needs that a lot of times they didn't even have time to eat. It was such a busy, busy thing. At about 3 and 4 in the morning, guess what? It's not very busy, is it? You got time. And so what the Lord is saying here is, every day you should have a time set aside. Maybe one time, maybe three times. I don't know. Everybody's different. But you should pray to the Lord for wisdom. Lord, what's the best time for me to pray? How would you like me to do it? And again, he'll let you know. You won't maybe hear a voice, but you will know what God has in mind. C.S. Lewis said, the moment you wake up each morning, all your wishes and hopes for the day rush at you like wild animals. And the first job each morning consists in shoving it all back and listening to that other voice, taking that other point of view, letting that other larger, stronger, quieter life come flowing in. And that's done through times of prayer. When we have a time of prayer every day, some of us like to title it. You can title it if you want. You don't have to. But some of those titles would be our quiet time, our morning watch, or our daily devotions. Because a lot of times we'll put reading the scriptures along with the time of prayer, along with maybe reading a devotional book along with it. And so you can call it whatever you want, but I really want to encourage you, set aside time for prayer every single day. And I think Daniel's right. I think it's more than once you probably want to do that, because the Bible says our Lord Jesus prayed all through the night sometime. The day that he chose his apostles, he prayed all that whole night. And then he called the disciples together and chose the 12 apostles. There are times in our life when we need long seasons of prayer, because it's the only way we're going to get an answer. We'd like the Lord to answer any prayer we have right away. But the Lord wants to see how hungry we are for the answer. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, he says, pray without ceasing. That means all through the day, if something comes up, you can be praying. I used to pray right on the assembly line. As I'm assembling the part, I'm praying about something that the Lord's dealing with me on. And it doesn't take away from your job. You can do your job, especially if you ever worked on an assembly line. You know how it is. It's so monotonous, you could do it in your sleep. But you still want to do a good job, but you do want to have prayer times when you can. Dr. Gordon also went on to say this: the great people of the earth today are the people who pray. I do not mean those who talk about prayer, nor those who say they believe in prayer, nor yet those who can explain everything about you about prayer. But I mean the people who take time and pray. They don't have time. It must be taken from something else. This something else is important, very important and pressing, but still less important and less pressing than time for prayer. These are people that put prayer first and group the other items in life's schedule around and after prayer. These are the people today who are doing the most for the Lord. Our Lord Jesus gave us a good example of keeping on praying. And we mentioned, when you don't get the answer the first week, you're not done praying. You pray the next week and the next week, whatever it takes. And in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, Jesus talked about that. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. In other words, don't give up. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Folks, when you have somebody that's lost in your family, you don't stop praying. We prayed for Mimi's dad 30 years. And 2 years before he died, he got saved. Don't give up. Now, if the Lord says no, then stop. But if the Lord doesn't say no, we keep on interceding. If it's a good thing, don't give up. So, I want to give you an illustration of praying and never giving up. A mother took her 3-year-old son to the store to buy some groceries. And the mother said to her little 3-year-old son, Tommy, Tommy, when we get in that store, I don't want to hear one thing about buying chocolate chip cookies. So Tommy was real quiet. They went up and down the aisles, and he was really quiet until they came, of course, to the cookie aisle. It was too much for Tommy. In the cookie aisle, he said, Mom, can I please have some chocolate chip cookies? And Mom said, now, Tommy, I told you, don't even ask. You are not getting chocolate chip cookies. So Tommy quieted right down again, and they went down the aisle. But unfortunately, they had, as they shopped, they forgot something, so they had to come back to the cookie aisle. And Tommy again said, Mom, can I please have some chocolate chip cookies? And Mom said, now, Tommy, listen, I warned you about this. No is the answer. You're not getting chocolate chip cookies. So Tommy quieted down again. They got up to the aisle where they're going out to the checkout. And Tommy started to think, this is my last chance. If I don't get chocolate chip cookies now, I'm not getting them. So Tommy stood up in his little seat, and he shouted at the top of his lungs, for Jesus' sake, can I get some cookies? And all the people around started to laugh, and then they started to applaud the little boy, and he left that store with 23 packages of chocolate chip cookies. Folks, don't give up on prayer. Somebody may tell you, no, I'm never going to do that. But God has power. And as we keep on insisting that we have to have the answer that he's laid on our hearts, be sure that it's him that put it there. But if it is, don't ever give up. Just keep praying until he either says no or the prayer gets answered. 30 years seems like a long time to pray. But Walt Wagner is going to be in heaven for billions of years because Mimi Wagner, Larkin, didn't give up. We just kept after it. Now, sometimes you're not going to know the answer because we prayed that long for my dad, too. As far as I know, my dad never made a profession of faith. But he could have on his deathbed. I don't know. Okay, sometimes you know and sometimes you don't know. But we prayed right till the time he died. Then it's too late. Dr. Michael Gitto, he was a radio evangelist, said that he prayed every morning while brushing his teeth that God would give him wise words to say. And as he washed his face, he asked God to give him a cheerful countenance all day long. We should learn to pause before we answer any question somebody has for us that could affect their lives. I want to give you a good example of that. This is Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had not before time been sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lies waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said to me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. Folks, the reason he was so scared is because at that time, if you were sad in the king's presence, you would be put to death. When you're with the king, you're supposed to be happy because he's the center of your life. He's everything to you. Folks, what he did, he knew he was going to get an answer one way or the other. Either he was going to die or he was going to get his request. Before he made the request, he turned to his God and asked him for wisdom how to say it. Folks, many times we speak the truth, but we don't balance it with love because we did not pray. When we speak the truth, we are to be speaking in love, which comes from God, and that's going to take some time for us to pray about. It's so important we stop. We need to learn how to close our day with prayer as well. Every day, God blesses our lives, every one of us. You had probably 3 meals today. You had water to drink and other things to drink. You had good times with family. Folks, there's nothing more important than when you lay your head on that pillow to give thanks before you go to sleep. God has done wonderful things for all of us, and we just go to sleep. What would you think? It's Christmas time, and you give all your kids all these gifts, and nobody says thank you. We've had people in this church before that the church has really helped immensely, but they never learn to say thanks. Now, you don't mind helping them, but it's nice once the church does help somebody, at least to say, well, thank you so much. That really means a lot to me. It's just the same thing with our God. He expects to hear, thank you, Lord. You gave me a wonderful day. Or you're healing my heart from a very difficult day. But at least giving thanks before we lay our head down and go to sleep. In Psalm 92, verse 1, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. So I want to give you a real answer to prayer. This is called three ripe tomatoes. Prayer is the lever that can exert a force much greater than its size. It's a fulcrum that tilts our circumstances graceward. It's a wedge that allows us to open the doors to exert influence. It's the pulley that lifts up loads upwards while simultaneously drawing down the provisions of heaven. It's the axle on which the abundant life turns. What a tool is prayer. Recently, I read the story of John and Minnie Clark, who were serving in the Belgian Congo, as it was called at that time, with the African Inland Missions, now AIM International, one day Mina became very ill with a dangerously high fever. In her delirium, she kept crying, "I want 3 ripe tomatoes, John. I want 3 ripe tomatoes." Now, there were no tomatoes in that region. No one had even heard of tomatoes in that region. John fell to his knees and prayed earnestly for his wife, asking for healing and begging God to send a doctor. He also spoke to the Lord about those 3 ripe tomatoes. The next day, a tribesman and a neighborhood woman knocked at his door. The woman carried a basket covered with a banana leaf. After casual conversation, the visitors got down to the reason for their visit. Sometime earlier, a traveler had left the woman some seeds. She planted them in her garden, and the bush had borne fruit. But she was afraid of the produce, not knowing if these strange-looking spheres were eatable or poisonous. John lifted the banana leaf to see, and you guessed it, 3 ripe tomatoes. Seeing his delight, the visiting woman said, "You can have those. We have lots of them at home." John took them right into Minna, who devoured them, and shortly thereafter the doctor arrived ahead of schedule. Minna was soon on the road to recovery, and John never knew whether it was the tomatoes or the doctor. But in either case, it was an answer to prayer. You pray for something that there's no way it could possibly happen unless God intercedes. And when that happens, you know that it's God. It's so exciting to me. We've prayed some very specific prayers over the years, I and Mimi, and we've seen the Lord give some very specific answers. If you just pray general prayers, you never know if God answers prayers specifically. But when you break it down and you say, "Lord, this is what we need, this is how we need it, and this is when we need it," and then the Lord does it exactly, you know it's Him. It just strengthens your faith. When we got that record player, stereo, radio, and TV, our faith went right through the roof. It was an amazing thing because it was so specific, right to the dollar amount, and we had it before Christmas. What a blessing it was. And we played those records, and who knows? I can tell you now that all my brothers except one are saved. I don't know if it started then or where it started, but at the time we got saved, my sister was the only one in the family that was truly saved. 2 of my brothers were deacons at the old church, and when I got saved, I witnessed to them, and I said, "Are you guys going to heaven?" And they both laughed at me and said, "Probably not. We're probably going to go to hell." They weren't laughing after a while because they were on their way to hell. They were religious, but they were not related to the Lord. One last verse, and this is 1 John 5:14. "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." I believe the Lord worked in my dad's heart. Although He never gave me a testimony of salvation, I could tell the Lord was working in my dad. Whether he got saved, I don't know. That's between him and the Lord. But I do know, because of concerted prayer over 30 years for my dad, that he not only heard the gospel, but he began to admire people that were strong in their faith. Whether he went all the way and got saved, I can't tell you. But I can tell you the Lord did his part. My dad still had a free will. You have a free will. You can say no to God, but you don't want to. Because the Lord really wants the best for you. When he touches your heart, get used to being in the habit of saying, "Yes, Lord, I'm going to do it your way." Father, we're so grateful for your word. We're grateful, Lord, for the great hope that prayer brings. We can come right into your throne room, Lord. We can talk to you about what's on our heart. We can listen for you to tell us what's on your heart. Father, make us people of prayer. Concerted, active prayer to you. And Lord, we'll give you the praise as we start seeing those answers come.